let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The book I have to go, but I'll meet you in your dreams, a true story by Hendrik Kumpfernagel, is a poignant and emotional story of how his son has dealt with the loss of his mother over the years that passed since that tragic day when Bridget Bieber set off on her sailing trip with her husband. They had plans to cruise around the Caribbean for perhaps 2 years. However, very shortly before they finished their cruise, Bridget disappeared from a tropical island. As time passed, her son Hendrik struggled to come to terms with the potential outcome that he will never see his mother again. Within a short time of her disappearance, not only Hendrik, but other close relatives as well began having visits with his mother at night in their dreams. Hendrik was born in Berlin in 1970. He earned the degree of Master of Computer Science, 2000, moved to San Francisco. He works for the University of California, San Francisco in healthcare as computer system analyst. His book, I Have to Go, But I'll Meet You in Your Dreams, A True Story, describes his desperate search to locate his mother, finally finding her in his dreams, revealing to him the purpose of his life. And Hendrik joins us on This Week in America. Hendrik, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you very much for inviting me to the interview, Rick.
It is our pleasure, and I'm looking forward to the conversation today. I give a little bit of background there, and so much we'll talk about during the course of the interview. From your standpoint, as the son who went through all of this, all the emotion, talk about what the book is about from your perspective.
Well, the first part of the book is basically about my mom, how she disappeared and how we were looking for her, trying to find her on that island where she was seen the very last time on her trip. But as it continues, it turns out that I actually start meeting my mom in my dream, revealing that she passed away. And she also will tell me what happened and why she passed away. But more importantly, as the second part of the book is about why are we alive? You know, the question is always, or I ask myself after I found out that my mom actually still exists, just differently than we used to, is if we all pass away eventually and ending in an afterlife where we still exist, why are we actually then alive in the first place? So I was trying to answer that question in that book to make the people understand that our life has a particular purpose while we're here, which is most likely to influence other people's life, and also to understand that everyone who thinks that their life is meaningless, that is that not true, because we all play a little puzzle in a way bigger picture. So the book tries to explain that, and that's what basically the book is about.
It's a very important message. Talk about that evolution as you were going through this process when suddenly this revelation, this comes to you, sort of putting everything in perspective and answer to your questions. What was that like when you felt you were making progress, you were understanding who you are and why you are and why you're here?
Well, the thing is, what I found out is that we are here. Well, our soul basically exists in both places, in the afterlife and in the physical world in our bodies. And the reason why we are here is because our soul can actually learn and evolve in our physical world what it can't do in the afterlife. So we're basically here to improve ourselves, our soul. And we can do it in different ways. You know, we can influence other people's life, try to help people, to be nice, to learn our lessons here too, because every life has their obstacles, and that what we learn here is basically what we're taking with us on the other side to stay there and maybe decide to come back. I think my book starts in a way where it says, you know, each life is like a classroom, and each classroom has like their own obstacles where you learn to involve your abilities and to take that with you later.
You know, like any classroom and educational setting, are you still learning? Are you still finding answers to questions you maybe didn't even know you had questions?
Yes, I do. And, you know, I have my ups and downs, and I try to be a good person. It's really interesting if you see your life from that new perspective. Another thing that I really realized is, you know, a lot of people working to make money and, you know, to buy their house and their cars and all that stuff. But all that stuff, that physical stuff, becomes so meaningless when you start to die because you cannot take that with you. What you really take with you is what you leave behind. like the impression that you make to other people. So if you raise a kid, if you help a homeless, if you be nice to people, if you provide someone with a nice life, this is something you take with you, because once you're like, I wouldn't say heaven, because I talked with my mom a little about it. I said, how is heaven? And she said, there is no heaven. It's more like an energy field with different spheres, and the higher ones are actually really fun, but the lower ones are so and so. But you can read that in the book later. But what you see from over there, and they can sense us, is what you take with you, because you can see your impact to other people's life after you passed away. And I think what you want to see is the beauty that you left behind, or not your car or your house or whatever it is. So I think this is something of the main part of the book that I tried to express, that you are here to influence other people's life too. And that's a very important role that you play. And it doesn't have to be anything big. It can be also smaller things. There's a really nice, cute little story of a coffee place that I had that is described in the book. That is one of those things. You know, as you give, you always get something back, and even if you don't expect it.
The book is I Have to Go, But I'll Meet You in Your Dreams, A True Story by Hendrik Kupfernagel, and that's Kupfernagel. The book's available at lulu.com, L-U-L-U, lulu.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you will be able to link on directly to the website, get information on the book. This starts with dreams from your mother. Do you still have dreams today?
So the really funny thing about those dreams is they usually come when you don't expect it. If you like, we just wait for it, it's not happening. But they come sometimes. Not very often anymore. It has been more like in those years after she passed away. But they're coming. Sometimes I got one at my birthday, which was really nice, actually.
Oh, yes.
I had another one that was actually very, very interesting. I have not written about in the book. That was the night when I finished writing the book. I dreamt about a party of my relatives. They were all sitting at the table, and it felt like they were actually celebrating my birthday. And suddenly my grandmother got up, and she turned around and looked me right in my face. And she died in 1976. I remember her when I was a little child. She was my grandmother's mother. And I said to my grandmother, I don't understand. I thought you passed away. And she was laughing. She said, no, I'm still alive. And then I said, well, if you're still alive, how old are you now? And she said, oh, I'm just 121 years old. And I started laughing. And I totally woke up just because I was laughing my dream. And then I stopped laughing. I thought, wait a minute. She said 121 years. So I looked into my calendar and found out that she was born in 1893. And if I added that back in 2014 when I had that dream, she was actually 120. She would have been 120 years old. So those dreams are so interesting. Is sometimes I really try to prove us that we just don't make that up. And this is also what's important in the book. It's not just about dreams that people might have. When people passing away, what my mom really tried a lot is to try to set references to make sure that we understand that those dreams are real. For example, there was an incident where I was dreaming of my mom's house. And I said, Mom, look, I make everything nicer for you. Can come back and move in. And she said, honey, you know, I live somewhere else right now, and I'm very, very happy there. So I'm just somewhere else, but don't worry, I'm very happy. And while she was talking to me, she had a little purse in her hand and put little things in it, like random stuff. Like, I don't know, it was like, it didn't make any sense to me at all. And so I talked like a night later with my father. I said, you know, Daddy, I dreamt of my mom. Did you have dreams? And he said, you know, I don't dream really. I never have really dreams. And then the next day he wrote me an email. He said, Henry, you don't believe it, but I was dreaming of mom, of your mom, of mom. And we were staying in front of the house talking about it. And while she was talking, she had a little box in her hand, and she put little things in that box. I said, really? That's so weird. It's like, I said, she did the same thing in my dream. And this is like, those are moments where she really tries really hard to make sure that I understand she's still there. And what I'm trying to do is with the book is when people grieving because they're leaving or they're losing someone, that they don't understand they're not really leaving. They're just changing their physical appearance to a non-physical appearance that we cannot sense with our natural sensors. But some are happy and can try to make a connection to those people in different ways than with our physical body. And so this is something that for me it's very important to communicate to the to the readers of the book.
Well, it's an important message, and the book is available, again, at lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U. The book is I Have to Go, But I'll Meet You in Your Dreams. You touched on this briefly. Everybody wants to know what happens next. What is the afterlife life like? Talk about that, because you were saying it's not really what we sort of have this image of what heaven is like, what the afterlife is like.
So here's also part that I'm talking in the book about is like, you know, why do we talk about angels and heaven, you know, angels or people become angels and they fly into heaven? What really happens here is we are trying to describe something that we only know from our physical experience. You know, we know how a person looks like, and we know how wings look like, and we put it together. It becomes kind of a creature that looks like a human and it can go into heaven where everyone can look down on us. I think what really happens here is the afterlife is something that you cannot really explain with words. This is something that we as humans have not really experienced. So, you know, just using that word like energy field to difference it from heaven, which means an energy field all around us, and they can be anywhere, below us, above us, right, left, wherever they want. But this, again, is something, is a word that I'm using that we kind of understand what it is. But I think the afterlife is really something that cannot describe as human words. But my mom tried to tell me that actually the afterlife, or where they are, is built out of different spheres, like layers. And the higher ones supposed to be more happy, more like more fun. And the lower ones are not so that great. That's what she told me. And you know, maybe the lower ones is something that humans used to describe as hell or whatever it is. But heaven is not like all up there. It's like it's all around us, if we want to translate it into our human language. And this, my mom was also talking about light. She said, you know, I can only see you if I have the right light. I don't know what that meant really. Something still felt a little bit confusing to me, but to be able to communicate to someone, who passed away is just so amazing that, that it made me happy to know my mom is still there. And for me, it feels really like my mom is on vacation really when she passed away. I was very, when she disappeared, I was very, very sad. And I could tell I probably have needed like a lot of therapy just to get through this. And once I understood this kind of concept, it like clicked in my brain. And I said, okay, everything good. That's what it is.
Well, and so many people go through those emotions, and you're able to help them with your book, I Have to Go, But I'll Meet You in Your Dreams, A True Story by Hendrik Kupfernagel, who is our guest on the program. That's Kupfernagel. The book's available at lulu.com, L-U-L-U. A few minutes left in the program. I'm wondering, as you're talking, there's so much information you have and probably still have. Will there be a sequel to this book?
So, to make a long story short, I was thinking about something. So, as I know what life is about to influence other people, my next project would be to approach a single person that is not in a really good shape. I have done that before, like in Bangkok. I ran into a young man who was a bartender, and he didn't have really that much money. He would sometimes just live on the street because he wouldn't be able to sell to pay his rent and food. And to approach those people and say, hey, what do you want to be? And this particular guy or young man wanted to be a barber. So I set him up for school. I came back to Bangkok. We went to the school. I paid for school, set everything up. And it was amazing to see how someone changed and within like a month from just bartending to be in a new environment, making friends. And, you know, when he started cutting my hair, it was like I felt just so proud about him.
Yes.
He dropped out of school for some personal reasons, and I signed him up a year later, and then he dropped out a second time. So not all stories have a happy ending, but I got a kind of a sense what I want to do in my next project, and I want to document this and write a book about it, how I maybe can change one, two, or three people's life from ground different. For me, it's always, you know, you can give someone money and then walk away, and I feel like those people are not really helped. I think, because they will still be on the street and ask for money next day. I think if you really want to help someone, you have to find the root of the cause and try to give them the proper education they need to get back on their feet. And then eventually they can also then help other people. So that was kind of my condition. And for me personally, my benefit out of it would be if I pass away at one point, I want to be able to look down and see, hey, Henrik, look, this is what you have done. There's someone who has a home now who used to live on the street because you helped him to get back on his feet with proper education. And I learned my lesson, so I know next time what I might have to do to get this better done. But that was an exercise, but it's definitely going to be a part of the book that I want to document, probably like in some years when I'm ready to retire and I have more time to care about yes. those people.
Well, that will be another meaningful book. In the time we have left here, what kind of reaction are you getting to I Have to Go, But I'll Meet You in Your Dreams, A True Story by Henrik Comfernagel, our guest on the program? What kind of response are you getting from readers, from family members, maybe some that share the same experiences that you talk about in the book?
I mean, the responses were great. Like someone wrote, you know, I started reading it, I was so powerful, I had to put it on the side for a couple of days before I picked it up again. And then he finished it and he said, I'm so happy I read it. And he said, you know, because my manager just make the world better, he said, like, with that book already, you served your purpose, kind of. But for me, it's obviously not enough. Other people said, I read the book in one session. It's really well written. It's easy to read. It's not a religion book. It's not about you have to believe on some big power or anything. Some people, there's one part that's kind of interesting. I say, when you start reading the book, put something blue next to you because blue is my favorite color, obviously, because my mom drowned in the ocean. So I can be close to you. And some people would write me just, you know, I put this and this blue thing. I had a blue napkin that I had on my night desk when I was reading your book. And it felt really nice to have a response on that. So there's a lot of interaction between me through the book to the readers. And that's what I most likely got, that people felt like I see purpose in my life now. And I want to make the world nicer too. And this is really what I want to do. And I also want to point out that book right now is just available as paper in Lulu. I kept the price very low because I want to make sure you can get it for $6 or $7. And it's like 240 or 50 pages. I just want to make sure I can spread the message to the people. This is important for me. And what I'm really looking for is like more like a professional publisher who may be able to spread that word more out to the world and make it maybe even available to even more people. Then I can do it right now.
Well, I love the passion that you have. And so often somebody writes a book and maybe it's for a narrow part of the population. I get the impression this book is for everybody. If you've lost someone, this will be comforting. If you're just asking the questions that you did as a young man, why am I here? What am I supposed to do while I'm here? What does my life mean? This book basically something that everybody can learn from.
That is correct, yes.
And the book is called I Have to Go, But I'll Meet You in Your Dreams, A True Story. Henrik Comfernagel, our guest on the program, that's Kupernagel. The book is available, as he mentioned, at lulu.com. That's lulu.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can now link on directly to information on Henrik's book. Henrik, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, the memories, what you're learning from your mother, still learning from your mother. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
All right. Thank you so much for interviewing me.
It has been our pleasure. The book is I Have to Go, But I'll Meet You in Your Dreams, A True Story. Book's available at lulu.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.